What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to another edition, All the Smoke. Jack, what's good?
Cooler, my brother. I'm hurting because, you know, I'm back on that court a little bit, kind of wounded, but, you know, ready to get back to work, man, and get this thing going. Got a dope show today.
What's your game looking like these days?
Oh, still him. H-I-M, capital.
Still him?
Yeah, still him.
But how does him feel after him's done?
Him don't feel like, I don't feel nothing but broken bones and bruises. I can't lie to you, Matt. When I get back, the first thing I have to do is sit in the tub and I got to lay down because I'll be so hurting that I can't even eat. No way.
Hey, well, thankfully, man, our next guest is one of the young guns, young bright stars in the NBA over there in Memphis. Part of the Grizzly family, man. Welcome to the show, Jaren Jackson Jr. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm just happy to be here. This is the legendary show. It's always on my TV. The homies and I mean, I'm happy for y'all on how far y'all came with this. Cause I mean,
man,
this is it now. Like you, this is it now.
Appreciate y'all get it, to watch. Now y'all get to watch your episode though. That shit's gonna be dope.
Man, I can't wait.
Go ahead, Jack.
Born in Plainfield, New Jersey. You moved around a few times. Talk about your upbringing.
Yeah, born in Plainfield. Was there for hot second. I lived in Virginia, Maryland. Really came up in Indiana, though, like basketball-wise. That's really what made me, you know, I bet y'all know good coaching out there, like good high schools, like, you know, people moving the ball. That's just kind of where I really found myself basketball-wise. Before I was really playing, I'll play with some dudes who go to Villanova now, Brandon Slater, Justin Moore. We were really good coming up. But, I mean, really finding that groove and thinking that I could do it. And for the rest of my life, I found that in Indiana. So that was really where I found it. And I transferred. I was going to a school in Indiana called Park Tudor, and I transferred to another school, a prep school called La Lemire, and I played with Jordan Poole, Brian Bowen, Tiger Campbell, who's, I mean, playing now in college. So yeah, I was doing
he's with them Bruins.
Yeah.
How was Jordan Poole in prep school? Because he's a killer now. He's starting to find his groove.
Yeah, that's my roommate.
Okay.
That's my dog. Like, I mean, at first I remember we used to just like go at each other. Like we would talk so much trash to each other in practice. And it's boarding school, so we went right back to the dorm and we would just sit there sometimes early on and we wouldn't say nothing to each other. We'd just be thinking about how we're going to kill each other next time whatever. We talk the whole time, and like we love bringing that out of each other. Cause at the end of the day, like he worked so hard. I just know how he was always going to be this special. I always knew that. And I mean, he instilled that in me a little bit. Like we would always go to the gym. He'd always wake me up early to go to the gym. That's one thing about him though. I ain't never liked that what time he went. Like that was like, you know, like what are we doing?
Up early, huh?
Yeah, like I love it, but like I could totally just do this later. Like I was planning on doing this later. We could totally done this later, but I mean he was trying to get up early. That's my dog though. Like, man.
Talk about Indiana. I played there around the Peyton Manning time. And just to go touch on what you said, Indiana had Peyton Manning at the top of his career, and they still was behind the Pacers and the Indiana Hoosiers. Like basketball is everything in Indiana, man. So I know what you're talking about. But growing up, was there any other sports you was interested in, and how did you find the game of basketball?
Yeah, I mean, my mama hated football for me. She didn't want all that. She didn't, you know, mama's scared. So I was swimming, actually, early on. I was swimming and I was good. But then we started to train outside the water, which was like, I didn't love it. I clearly ain't love it to do all that. So I was like, you know, maybe, like, I was always hooping. Like, I always hoop. Like, even if I'm hooping for fun or for real, like, I'm always hooping. So I'm like, you know, I just fell in love with it. And my, you know, obviously, like, my dad plays, so you would think, like, you know, he gonna push me into it, whatever. And he's definitely happy it all worked out that we love the same game, but he never pushed me into it. Like if I didn't want to do it, he would have been cool, whatever. Like he just wanted me to have that love on my own. So I mean, I had the love, I didn't even find in Indiana. I had it. I just had it the whole time and didn't know it. Like I just didn't know it. And then in Indiana, I just kind of learned like the discipline of it all, like the discipline, the work, the real, when it's not fun per se, you know, like the other things. So I just being Indiana and like, you know, you got the Hoosiers down there. So the Hoosiers, all the fans go to the Pacers games. So that's where it gets loud. Like they're still loud. I was going to Pacers games, watching Danny Granger. I was watching PG back when PG was like a real four, like a real 4 or 5. And Dan Granger was hooping and George Hill and Lance. Like I would go all those games. And I mean, it was always rocking. You get the Purdue fans. I was recruited by IU, Purdue, Butler, Xavier, Michigan State. And so, yeah, like Midwest, I was a real Midwest dude at that point. So, I mean, Indiana bred me.
Yeah, you coming from two parents that's tied into the game. Your pops played, won a championship, of course, with San Antonio Spurs, and is still coaching this day in the G League. You was born the year your dad won the ring. Do you remember anything from that time and what kind of game did your dad instill in you, you know, from firsthand from being an NBA player and being an NBA champion?
Yeah. Well, nah, don't remember nothing. I was crawling around in the little family room, in the whatever room. And I was born the same year he won the ring. So then the next couple years after that, like the Spurs was the team that really, I mean, had his back for real, like, you know, had him for like 4 years. And then you want to ring with that team. And then you was there like right after your point guard was Tony Parker and then his was Avery. So like right around that time. And man, I was born. I know you was born in H-Town. So, I mean, that ain't far.
Right, H-Town, you sure right.
Yeah, but I was in San Antonio. I remember, shoot, you could cook eggs outside. It's hot. Spanish, little things like that. Like, but I mean, that was a nice little, for my family, like, you know, you always remember that for my family. And I mean, that's always a special place. My mom loved living there too. So San Antonio.
I mean, both your parents are in the game. Your mom, Terry, is the director of the WNBPA and has done a lot of amazing things across the league, like negotiating higher salaries, protesting fines, really having the backs of the women in the WNBA. So does that, you know, how in tuned are you to what she's doing and the growing support of the WNBA?
It's crazy. I used to watch my mom, like, we used to have a pretty big house, not gonna lie. Like, Chief really did it. Thank God for Chief. And like, that's my dog. So, but my mom used to hide in the workout room and film these videos of what she wanted to accomplish, she would say, like, you know, I want to, it was always pro women. Like, we didn't make fun of her around the house. We like, man, you love women. But like, she literally would do, you know, whatever for women. Like, she's always in that mode. So I've seen her work at AAU, UDC, and where she's at now is kind of exactly what she used to say on those videos, like exactly what she wanted to do. So she's really doing it. And I'm proud of how far she's come. She ain't hoop. By no means, she ain't hoop. And she got a free throw shot. That's it. So just to, like, see how in tune she is with women in sports just because of the human aspect of it. Like, she gets that real well.
Right.
That's like a real big part of our family too. And she's the reason why we moved to Indiana. Funny enough, we didn't even move for hoops. We moved because she was working for the NCAA. So that's really why it happened. And we were like, cool, like, we know you're grinding. And we didn't even question it. We were like, all right, we can get out of here. Even though, who knows if we wanted to leave or not. It ended up working out for everybody.
Mm-hmm. That's what's up. Obviously, both your parents connected to basketball so much. What kind of fans are they within their crowd? Are they quiet? Are they yelling? Do they embarrass you? What kind of fans are your parents?
Yeah, well, as I get older, I'm realizing, like, back then, I'm like, dang, y'all wildin'. But you love that now. Like, I love that now. They're screaming. Like, my mom's screaming. Mom got a high voice, so it's very, like, you know, piercing. And she likes to clap, like, with her hand, like, perfectly on her other hand. So it's loud. Like, everything's real loud. And my dad's just, you know, having fun. His voice is loud, too. So he might not even know he's loud. But I mean, they just get real active, and they still do that now. Like, it's funny. Like, I know where they sit at my games now. And I can hear it. Like, I can hear little things. My mom says butter when I make a free throw still to this day, screams it. She'll yell out like, come on, 13, like, da 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 da. I'm like, yeah, but I hear
you. You know your mom's voice though. You can hear it through the whole stadium.
Mm-hmm. I think I used to say calm down maybe once when I was growing up, and I think after a point, I was just like, you know what? There clearly there's just no stopping this. So, you know what? You got it. Like, go ham. Like, I love it.
Embrace it. There you go.
You and I both shared a McDonald's All-American experience. You know, for me, it was a blessing. Talk about how you felt about being chosen and being one of the best players in the country in high school, and also being able to rub shoulders with some of the elite.
Yeah, I mean... I was never, even going into that summer, it's like your last summer before everything. So it's like, you know, it's your last summer to prove everything, your AAU, your circuit, you're trying to go ham. I was probably ranked like 80th. And I didn't, like, trust me, I don't know if I ever set a bar for myself this whole time. I think I was just in it. I just was in it.
Mm-hmm.
So like 80th, we started playing. I was playing on Speed and Nike Circuit. I hopped to 30th. At the end, I was 8th. And I'm like, oh, wow, I'm probably going to make it. So I made it with my teammate, Brian Bowen. So we both made it together, which was dope. Like, it was crazy. And, I mean, getting picked for that, Jordan, Hoop Summit, that was like a dream. Like, I didn't really feel it at the time because, like, you never really thought maybe. But when it realized and I realized all the names I'm associated with, even just nominees, when the nominees came out, it's just crazy to think that, you made it out of that. But it's a long day at McDonald's. People who know the McDonald's know
man,
I'm talking about. That is a long day. It is not, it ain't man. Like you there and you don't want to complain because you there. You don't want to complain because then you just going to feel bad. Like you look in the mirror, you're like, why am I complaining about this? But man, you go in there, you sign 10,000 basketballs.
Hey, for me, man, hey, I know how you felt because for me, they could have took everything out except going to the hospital. I think I enjoy going to the hospital and talking to the kids at the McDonald's Children's Hospital. I think that's the only part I enjoy besides playing. All the other stuff in the middle, they could have canceled that.
Yeah, because it was a human thing. Other stuff was press and smiling and photo op and go here, do this. And honestly, even practice was weak. I don't even know what we were doing. I think we did a layup drill. It was funny. We were like, you watch the other team practice. You're on different court. We're the West or something. I don't even remember what we were. I was with Trae Young and Michael Porter. We're looking over at the other team. They scrimmaging the whole time. We're looking at our coach like, man, can we scrimmage? This man is having us doing full court layup drills. And then at the very end, Trey missed the layup, just missed it. And we had like 19 trying to get to 20, made us do it again. We're like, man, we ain't even scrimmaging. Like, what are we doing? Like, where everyone's trying to be, everyone's prima donna now. Everyone's prima donna coming out because everybody nice. So it was funny. I think we kind of laughed at that later because, I mean, we've seen each other play since like we were 12. And now it's all of us here again. And then at the draft, we could look back at it too. We were laughing about that then. But I was crazy, man. McDonald's was lit.
Who were some of the other guys? Not to cut you off, Jack. You mentioned Trae Young and Michael Porter Jr. So who were some of the other guys in that game?
Yeah, Mo Bamba, DeAndre Ayton was in that game. Wendell Carter was in that game. A lot of bigs in that game. Trae was like the guard. Trayvon Duvall was in that game. Pretty sure Billy Preston, Jared Vanderbilt. It was I don't know if Billy was in that. Billy was always good though. But a lot of for sure. And I mean Marvin Bagley would have been in it, but you know, transferred whatever he did to get to the whatever he did. He just wasn't in the game. Like some people just don't be in the game, but it would have just been all big dudes for real. And it was funny. We ended up winning too, which was hype. Like I'm so glad we won.
Yeah, I got a quick Kobe story about McDonald's game. You talk about how a team, two teams, y'all didn't scrimmage. Well, I got footage that I put on my Instagram where I was going through a shoot-around, just a walkthrough. And Rip Hamilton guard Kobe, and it was just a walkthrough. Kobe get the ball and drive mid down the lane and dunk it hard like we playing full speed. So instantly after that, coach like, we just walked Kobe. Kobe was like, no, let's get after. So we ended up playing four quarters. Bro, full practice because Kobe wanted to go hard, bro. So I know what you're talking about because the other team was just chilling.
Yeah, for real. I'm glad y'all like had Kobe on here. Like, you know what I mean? I'm glad y'all got to do that too. That's a side note. I had nothing to do with nothing, but
yeah, that I'm was glad a blessing.
You got to be on here. That's so dope, for real.
Had to.
College recruitment process. Was your parents pushing you to go to Georgetown? What other teams reached out?
No, they weren't pushing me. You know, maybe my dad hoped, but at that point, so many schools had reached out and he realized that I was going to have a lot of options that, I mean, you just got to make the right decision. Pretty much everybody in the Big Ten reached out. Kansas reached out, North Carolina. And then my final five was Notre Dame, Michigan, Michigan State, Georgetown, and Maryland. That was my final five. I know how it was, like, getting all those calls, everyone's buttering you up. I mean, to keep it real, like, schools was lying. There were schools that were lying, for sure. Mm-hmm. They just were lying. Like, I'm glad I'm here now able to say that like that because I've never really been able to say that because I usually just say something else like, thank you. But people were lying. They were saying, you know, you're going to get the ball every time. You're going to do this. You're going to have the keys to this. Here's this. You're going to have anything you want. And I'm like, I hate it when schools lie because I'm like, man, y'all would probably get me if y'all just said less. Like, I'm probably more into y'all than y'all know. And y'all damn
the bullshit.
Yeah, y'all ruining it for me. But then Michigan State, they damn near pissed me off. They would call me after games and tell me I played horrible. Like, what am I doing? Like, get on me. And then, I remember at first I was like, man, the hell? And then, I sat down and I thought about it. I'm like, man, it's probably something to this. Like, it's probably something to this. Like, why are they doing this? They know that everybody wants me to go there. Like, why are they doing this? And they would end up telling me, like, man, we just want you to be good, period. Like, we don't care where you go. We don't care at all. Like, none of that. They would never promise me anything. Izzo's like, man, you're going to have to work for real. Mm-hmm. I'm like, all right, cool. So let's do it. Like, I was like, I took it as a challenge, which it was for sure. It was an adjustment early, but it was like, is what I wanted and what I needed for sure. Like it worked so well. Like it was like a perfect fit for me.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court 1-on-1 tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
So you chose Izzo because he kept it funky with you?
Yeah, he kept it real. And he a real, like, that's OG right there. Like, he really, like, he cares, like, so deeply about, like, the game and how players develop and how they go on to live their lives and just how much you give, compete. Like, you know, I got to the program. We had practice. And he was like, all right, we're going to. Gonna run here and go get the ball. Like, run full court and catch a corner three. I ran full court. He said, yo, what is that? I said, what do you mean? Like, he's like, is that your run? I'm like, I'm like, bruh, I ran. And he's like, yo, Kyle. He said, Kyle Arns, show him how to run. This man, Kyle, ran like it was the last time he ever gonna run. I'm thinking, like, I gotta run to get the three. So I'm thinking I'm finna run and get in rhythm. That's not what he wanted. Sprint. He wanted me to run full speed, stop on a dime, and take this three. But, like, the point of it, like, he get with that it was hard. But the point of it, like, he knew it was hard. Like, he knew early on it was going to be difficult. But at the end of the day, like, it pays off later. Like, may not even be paying off for that exact drill, but, like, the mentality, you build the mentality enough for everything else you're doing. And, like, I don't know. People be missing that.
Yeah. He teaches what it's like at the next level. What up?
Matt, I got a quick story. I don't think you know Tom Izzo, why he a GOAT. I was doing First Things First, and right after the show, he called Chris Carter on FaceTime. And all he was saying was how much he loved our show. Coach Tom
oh, really?
Izzo. So shout out Coach Tom Izzo. This was maybe last year. I think around last year when I was doing First Things First, and he FaceTimed Chris Carter just to tell
on
me that he fucked with our show. So that's dope.
That's dope. No, I mean, we had Draymond on the podcast. You remember, outside of arguing with Izzo, he said, I mean, he had nothing, but I have never heard anything bad about Coach Izzo. So
I'm telling you, it's so real.
What some of the, obviously he's teaching you, like you said, it wasn't about the shot. It was just about instilling principles that you hustle while you're on the basketball court. And it's always going to add to the bigger picture. But what is the best advice you recall him giving to you?
Best advice.
Shoot the J.
Or was it just stuff he taught you? Yeah, right. Shoot that thing.
Shoot the J.
Probably.
Shoot it.
I mean, first probably was to leave school. He really made me.
Hey, there you go.
That's what's really funny, because there was rumors. I remember, I love rumors. Like, they're so off, because there was rumors I remember of, they say that Iz was trying to keep me in school. And I'm like, how does that even work? How would y'all know that?
And he's like, pushing me out the door.
He's literally, I walked in his office after we were done, like, everything's over. And I actually signed up for, like, the summer trips and, like, the weird stuff in college, like, the weird stuff. I signed up for it for the next year, and people were asking me if I'm staying. I'm like, hell yeah, I'm staying. Next year about to be crazy. Da, da, da. I go in there. I'm like, all right. So he's just like, so what are we talking about here? Like, I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, what are you going to stay for? I'm like, I don't know, because I like school. He's like, that's a horrible reason. And then he was like, he ended up told Draymond I was thinking of. He drove me to class and he was like he put his hand on my shoulder as if like, it's the last time you finna see me. I'm like, all right, man. Like, I'm not thinking that. And then he told Draymond, and Draymond called me and cussed me out. That's how Michigan State be. Like, everybody on each other. Like, we don't care. Generation, there's no gap. Like, everybody knows everybody very well. So Draymond calls me. I don't even know Draymond like that. Like, we're not that cool yet. Like, we're cool, but we're not that cool yet. So he's calling me, not even introducing himself. He's just calling me and saying, what the fuck is you doing? I'm like, who is this? He's like, no, this is. And I'm like, oh, it's Draymond. All right, what's up, bro? Like, I know how you be. He's like, why are you going to stay? There's no reason. How high you want to go? How high you want to go? One? You want to go one, huh? How high? Like, what's the point of all this? Da, 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 da. I'm like, all right, bro. Like, dang, it ain't like, I haven't even thought about it all yet. Like, man, I could have let, like, who knows? And then I sat down and really looked at it. And then my dad finally decided to talk to me about it because he was waiting, giving me space. And he was like, yeah, it's probably shaping out that way.
You know what? You know what's funny about that is I was about to ask you about Miles Bridges next, but I particularly remember, since you brought Draymond up, Draymond was having conversations with Miles and his parents while we were on getting ready. I think we were in the Western Conference Finals. We might have been in the finals, and I was sitting right next to him. And he was really going back and forth with Miles and his parents about staying, not staying. I think Miles wanted to come out. I'm not sure if his parents didn't want him or some shit like that. But it was funny you said that, because he was on the phone with Miles too. And obviously you guys played together. Thoughts on his, man, arguably could be most improved player this year in the NBA. What kind of relationship do you guys have? And are you surprised at the leap he's made?
Hell no, I'm not surprised. Kind of like the same thing with Jay Poole. He just works so hard. There's like levels. Mm-hmm. Like, you work too hard, I know eventually something's going to sink for you. Eventually, you're going to work double as hard as someone else, like, you're going against. And it just adds up enough. So, I mean, I just seen how he works. I know his mentality. He don't give a damn about anybody in front of him. He going at you and he going to laugh about it. Like, it's just, this is joy. Like, it's pure joy. It's coming from a real place. So, I know, like, if you have that, I have more confidence in, like, anything you're going to do in the future. So, I mean, plus he's my roommate, too. That's my dog. Like, we working out together. We worked out in the summer right before the draft. While we were still in Michigan, before we left, and I went to LA. So I knew what he was on. And I mean, just to see the leaps. Yeah, we worked out with Chris Johnson this summer. So and
shout out to Chris, just the homie.
Yeah, Chris is elite.
He works out by twins.
I was never shocked at how, when he was gonna grow. I think I was shocked on how he adapted so well to probably shooting. Just because that was probably the only thing that, like, people said, like, you know, I don't know, he's super athletic and drive, all that. But now, I mean, you really got to put a hand up. Like, he can shoot. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm just happy for him. You know, whatever they do. I mean, Charlotte's on a 5-game winning streak right now as we speak right now. And I know him and Melo have, like, a crazy connection right now. They're really doing it. So, they got it.
Mm-hmm. You declare for the draft in 2018. You get drafted number 4 by the Grizzlies. Talk about that experience.
Yeah, draft process. Only did 3 workouts. Ironically, none of them for the Grizzlies. It was Atlanta, Dallas, and Phoenix, because I was going for the number 1 pick. And I actually wanted to, funny thing, I actually asked Phoenix to do like a group workout for the number 1 pick, which honestly was pretty weird. No one does that. Like, everyone said no, but no one wanted to do it. But it was okay. Like, I still worked out for them. And yeah, like, at the time we had a whole different front office, a whole different team in the Grizzlies, you know, agency process angle you in different ways. And I didn't really know much about any of the places. I was just happy to go anywhere. When I knew I was going 1 through 5 or 1 through 10, I was like, you know, I'm gonna just make sure I'm ready for whatever comes. And I pretty much knew draft morning where I was going. You never know, but like, you knew. Like, yo, agent, my agent told me, Austin Brown, the GOAT. And we're at the draft table. And everyone thought I was going to Atlanta. So everyone's looking at me for Atlanta. And I'm like, no, it's not. I'm trying to tell people, like, nah. And then they think I'm mad. Like, as soon as it happens, I'm like, nah, I knew. And they try to put the camera on me for my, like, explosive reaction or whatever. I'm like, nah, bro, it's cool. And then I went to Memphis and immediately, I mean, I just felt different. Like as soon as my name was called, I just felt different. Partly because you go right to the media circuit and it's like you're getting asked questions like you was on the team for your whole life. What do you want to bring to the city? How does the city treating you? I'm like, bro, I ain't get there. But like, I was immersed. You're immersed in the community. Like as soon as you get there, everybody's so excited to see you. Like it's crazy. Like it's like they don't. I mean, Matt know too. Like they just more, how to say, on your ass. But like they on everybody's ass. Like if you come for the team, they on you. But they on your ass too. So it's like it's both, and it's like real. Like you know it's real. You know it ain't nothing. Like it's not a bunch of people just going to the game not knowing what's going on.
No, they love, I mean, because it's really all they got out there. You know what I mean? So I was obviously a competitor with the Clippers and we battled them in the playoffs for a few years. But then once I went there, it was like, they love you. They embrace you. And I wasn't even a number fourth pick. You know what I mean? You're a lottery pick. So I can only imagine the love that they showed you when you arrived. Because it's really a real basketball town. Like they really care about their Grizzlies.
It was a lot of love. I went to a baseball game first off, threw a pitch. Like no sleep, like coming straight from the draft, like had like a bunch of my people at the draft night before, really not sleeping at all. Like it was crazy. And flew right there, met everybody. We're a vet team though, heavy vet team. We're not like we are now. Heavy
who was vet. Still there? Who was there when you were drafted?
I started with Marshawn Brooks, Sheldon Mack, Dylan Brooks was probably the youngest, and Mike Conley. Mark, okay. Jermichael Green, Omri Caspi, Garrett Temple was on our team, Kyle Anderson. Yeah. Okay. The age was the whatever age was high. So I'm like, it's funny. Oh, Wayne Selden, my brother. It was crazy, like I was rook for real. Like it was funny in the locker room. Like it's funny to see how our locker room has changed. But I mean, I really had OGs. Like I really had OGs who had a lot of different experiences, knew a lot of people in the league. And I remember I would say stuff and they'd be like, "You have no idea." Oh, I had Chandler. I had Chandler. You had Chandler on here. Chandler. That was really my guy.
I was gonna ask because I think I left the year before. I went. Yeah, I was there the year before. And then Chandler came the year I left. So that's what I was going to ask. I think Chandler was on that team too.
I was a good rook too. They know it too. I was good. Like what I learned about the rook duties is like the only way you get hard rook duties is if you don't do the easy ones. So I was always like towels, the showers, look like the food for the plane, like everything I was on point with. Like, I never missed ever. And they treat you right. That's what they don't. Like, they're going to give you something.
Oh, they tip you. Yeah, they give you our per diem. We would have had you on blunt runs, alcohol runs. What else, Jack?
Rubbers, all that.
But you didn't use those. That's why I said we wouldn't say that.
Ain't no, but like, I literally had 2 a.m. you ready, 1 a.m. you ready. You just got to be ready. Like, if you just are consistent with it, they leave you alone. But I remember Chandler. Yeah. Chandler, funny thing about Chandler. Chandler had me. He was like, all right, hey, Rook, can you get my bag like off the plane? Like, get the bag, his bag, and bring it home and then bring it to the gym the next day. And I'm like, this is so odd. This is like the oddest one.
Just so he can get right to his car. He didn't have to wait for the bags.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, fine. Yeah. I just didn't care. So I did it.
Right.
I bring his bag home. I bring his bag in my crib. And I'm like, dang, this bag is huge, but it's so light. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, I don't even feel like being that dude, but what's in this bag, bro? So I'm just like, bro, all right, I'm opening your bag. I open the bag because this joint don't make sense. And there's just one pair of jeans in there. It's just a huge bag and just a pair of jeans in there. I'm like,
that boy don't change, huh?
I'm like, dude, what the... I'm just so confused, and I just bring it to him. I just bring it next day. And I never say anything about it. I ain't never tell him. But I'm just like, bruh. And he's like, good, Rook. I'm like, yeah. You know damn well there's just some jeans in here. This is the most random thing. Like, what is the point of this?
Like, fuck you got this big-ass bag for?
Bruh.
What was your welcome to NBA moment? We all got one. Just that moment when you like, damn, I'm really here. I'm in the league.
I'm here. I'm in the building.
I feel like mine was the first preseason game because we played the Rockets and we were playing Chris Paul and James Harden.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I played a lot of 2K. So 2K was getting really good. 2K is getting really good. Like, I know the rituals, the intros. And we're going through, like, warm-ups. I'm coming off the bench, and I see, like, the Chris Paul where he jumps on, hits the pad. James Harden hits the pad, does like this. I'm like, wow, this is, like, exactly like 2K. I'm like, this is exactly like 2K. It's my first game playing somewhere. Chris Paul gets attacked in, like, the first 3 minutes of the game for no reason.
He's talking shit to the refs. Yeah,
it's the first preseason game of the year. I'm like, all right. So then I get out there, and they literally run the same play 10 times in a row and just get me on a switch and ISO me and take 100 dribbles back and forth and just do a step back. And then, or they just try to drive by me. And, like, I wasn't getting baked, but they hit some. And then, like, I remember one time James Hammond just was staring in my eyes, like, staring at me and, like, laughing as he's doing this dribble because he knows this is the first time I'm out here. And I'm like,
about to barbecue your ass.
Man. And he stepped back. And I remember I tried to contest. I kind of stepped under him and he fell. And they're like, hey, like, they were freaking out, like, on the Rockets bench. Like, he stepped under him. And then Chris Paul's like, hey, man, like, don't even, like, he told the bench to calm down because I don't even know. He knows I don't know what's going on right now. Like, he knows I have no idea. I didn't even know what they were mad about. I was like, what's up? Like, the dude just hit me with 8 moves, combos, and stepped back. Like, I don't know what y'all want.
Expect.
Y'all want me to not contest? Like, y'all, I don't even, but that was probably a moment. Playing against Bron that season was crazy. I just remember it was the first time for everything. So, like, it's
Bron. Did anyone dunk on you that season? You get dunked on by anybody?
Rookie, I'd be forgetting.
He's a shot blocker.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, because that's why, no, he be going up and contesting. That's why I'm saying it's only, you know, it's a matter of time. You're going to block enough, but you're going to get dunked on too.
Yeah, probably. It's probably someone I don't remember them. It's hard for me to remember them. And I ain't even bullshitting because I really would say it because I do block a lot. So it is going to happen. But when it happens, it just like, I'll be forgetting. It can't be. Oh, I mean, I don't even want to.
Yeah, come on, you might as well share shit. You might as well share it now.
Yeah, I mean, Belicia ducked on me.
Yeah, see, it's the ones you wouldn't expect. It's not the high flowers, yeah.
In Sacramento, I banged on him the first half. I went left, banged on him, talking crazy. My bench, I'm talking crazy. And then in the fourth quarter,
gotcha.
He comes down the lane and gives me, and the whole crowd remembers, and they're going crazy. And then I got subbed out right then. I'm like, Coach,
that's the worst.
It was an and-one, too. I'm like,
and you got subbed out?
I got subbed out for like 8 or 9 minutes.
That's
I got subbed
worst.
Out so long that they put me in to like be on the ball at the end of the game. Like, I got subbed out for a minute that game randomly. Like, I was like, man, like, damn. But
yeah, to wear that shit.
I remember. I think that's why I remember that one. That one was weird.
March 29th, 2019, you're shut down for the remainder of the season. What is that like for you? You're in the league now and you're shut down. How was that mentally for you, understanding that, you know, damn, this is a part of the game? Yeah. The worst.
Well, funny enough, I had literally just gotten hurt and I was coming back from injury and I was a game away. So it was the next game I was about to play. And I'm like, really? Like, all right. So then we shut down. And I mean, at first I didn't know what to think because I didn't think it would be a long time. But when I realized, like, what was really going on around the world, I was like, man, it kind of just made me grateful for everything. Definitely for everything. Like, grateful for playing the game, playing competitively around people. Like obviously, I ain't going to lie, I was going to the gym always. Like, I found a way to get to the gym. But even then, like, it's different. You just... Mm-hmm. Different. You're not around, like, even the people, the coaches, like the video dudes, like people training you, like anything, like the relationship there is just not there. And you're just getting better on your game, waiting for that time to show it again. It's kind of like you're in a cocoon or something. But I mean, it was just more like you're kind of, everybody's on the same playing field for some reason. Like, it's hard to say, but like, everybody's in the same boat. You know what everybody's probably thinking around the whole world, because everybody's just sitting there waiting. Everybody's just kind of making do. Everybody's just kind of, you know, it's less about basketball for once. Yeah. Like, it's always about basketball, but it's finally life. Less about basketball. And that's weird. Like, it's usually all about that.
Yeah, it's life. The following season, the end of the year in December, you dropped a career high 43 with 9 threes, tying the franchise record with Mike Miller. What was that night like?
Hoop was big. Hoop was real big. Like, I don't know what – I didn't do anything special before the game. I think it was a regular game. I knew I was playing Giannis, so I was hype, and people were, you know, excited about that matchup of me finally getting a taste of that. And I just realized that they – I mean, for a while, like, my shot form, like, it would just not have people contest and stuff like that. I could get away with a lot. So I knew I could shoot, and I had the confidence to shoot, and they weren't playing up on me at first. So my first four – when I hit my first four in the quarter, I was kind of like, all right, I just – like, no matter what, I'm going to take probably five or six more just because I deserve it now. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt comfortable, like, doing it. So my teammates were finding me. I hit one. One time I remember I played the whole court. I was so gassed. Coach was running a play for me to get it at the elbow, and I was so gassed. I kind of just like ran to the ball, like at the top of the key, just said, give me the ball, and like cleared everybody out and took like a 40-footer off the glass. And I was just like, wow, this is crazy. I don't even know what's going on. Like I probably hit seven in a quarter in the third, and then ended up hitting nine for the game. But the third quarter was – the third quarter was unreal. Like, I didn't know what was going on. And I had a layup in that. I had a couple layups in that quarter where they finally closed out on me and I drove. I was like, wow, I'm gassed. But this is a dream right here. This is crazy.
Getting whatever you want. 2020, you guys go to the bubble. What do you remember about that? I mean, whether it be playing or just in that environment, what sticks out to you the most about that time?
I'm an only child, so pretty much like growing up again, just being by yourself and hooping and coming back like a long tournament. And it was like we was an AAU team, roommates, going to each other's room every day, hanging out, playing video games, listening to music, like all the – I just remember everything being so open. There's just no one there. You can do whatever you want. And then you just go and play these games. I got hurt there too, which sucked. Mm. I got hurt there too. Yeah. That's what really –
tore your meniscus?
Yeah, that was like my first real getting hurt experience, like surgery. And I remember I got hurt there. My boy Justice Winslow got hurt there. So we were pretty much hanging out with each other until we had to leave the bubble. And I mean, that was kind of a blur. I ain't gonna lie. Up until that point, it was a blur. But that experience was, I think we were just so excited to play again that we weren't as mad about it. But then again, you're away from your friends and your family. Kind of gets to you a little. And I mean, people wanted to leave for sure. People wanted to leave, man. Like, keep it 100 air. Like, people wanted to get out. But it's like, it's testing you. You know, basketball is all we know. What are you going to do? Leave and do what? Like, not hoop.
Yeah. You guys get your first taste of the playoffs in 2021. Although losing to the Jazz in 4-1, what did that teach you personally, and what did that teach your young team about what this playoff like is like?
Yeah, I mean, there's no fouls in the playoffs. You can off ball maim somebody. You can punch somebody in the face, cutting.
Shit,
no way. Somebody out so crazy, ribs. The lower rib area is open season. You can set a crazy screen and like. You can get away with a lot, which they knew. And it was funny. Like, my first cut in game one, I remember. We were running we got the tip. And I was supposed to just – it was a bluff cut. Like, I wasn't even part of the play, really. I cut – Royce O'Neal checks me going through, like, checks me. Like, harder than we have all year. We played them four times. I'm like, all right. Playoffs.
Yeah.
Okay.
To the playoffs.
I see where we're on. And then, I mean, moving the ball is just so important. That's what you really learn playing against the Jazz. Like, moving the ball, every possession matters. Like, no one's crashing. Everyone's getting back. There's just slow half-court basketball. Like, it's like chess. You're just playing chess. Everybody knows everybody real well. every tendency is known. So it's just about mismatches and knowing everything about your opponent. That's when, like, I had nothing else to do but play the Jazz. So, like, what I kind of thought of was, like, man, I got nothing else to do but play this team, and this is what we worked for the whole time. I cut everybody off. Like, no one could get to me. No one could talk to me. Like, no friend, no nothing. Like, you couldn't talk to me for the most part. I mean, and then I ended up looking at weird stuff about the Jazz, like where the players were from. And I ended up looking at little interviews that they had just to kind of, I didn't know when I would use that info, if I would or at all. But, like, I just wanted to get a feel for more who they were. Just because I had nothing else to do but study the Jazz. So I'm just like, man, all right, I might as well. Like, I'm on my computer. I'll just be like, all right, I look up Donovan talking about this. Or I know Donovan from New York. Like, maybe I say something about New York to him one day in the game. Just throw him off. Maybe just make him miss. He might miss two more shots. I don't know. He might miss two more shots, man. And it's Donovan. So it's like, you know, he's going to take a bunch. If he misses two and that's what helps us win, I don't know, but we only won one game. So we only won one. So, I mean, you see how that went. They're a great team. They definitely taught us a lot. But, I mean, I'm glad we got there, got that experience.
What do you know about the grit and grind era?
What I really know is, I mean, it's self-explanatory, but at the same time, it's really mental. That's what you really don't see much. Like, obviously, everybody's physical. You grinding, diving on the floor, but those things are given. Like, that's what you should do. You should dive on the floor. You should do all these things for your teammate. Like, I hope you do, because they gonna do it for you. But, like, the mental side, like being locked in every game, being locked in, ready to play every game is tough. Like, you really gotta be on it. And that's, like, what people don't see, the preparation, the pedigree that comes from him. I mean, you had T.A. T.A. is still – T.A. was always around. Mike, Tayshaun works for our team. So, I mean, everybody looms around. Zach still goes to all the games. You still had that love, that family aspect kind of. And they pass it down, but at the same time, they shared a lot of their stories. And you can see on how they play, how connected they were. Just – it comes from the crowd, too. I mean, everybody around here embodies that, like, all the time. So it's something real special. Like, I can't even explain it. And we still kind of had that. It don't go nowhere. Like, it really don't. It isn't.
You guys are just a newer version of that.
Yeah, we're next gen. They allowed us to be next gen because they want us to have our own thing. But grit and grind is never gone, and it'll never go away. It's just, that's just what we are at the end of the day.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99.
Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Explain Ja in one word.
Electrifying. Box office. Box office electrifying. Him, bro. For real. Really him. And I always say this. I always say this about Ja because I love saying this. I get better seats than all y'all to see this because I'm right there seeing this. And most of the time, we don't even really know what we're seeing until we back up and really think about we're seeing some crazy stuff right now, like that'll go down in history. And yeah, like he'll probably have a lot of people's highlights of their career in a game.
For real.
It's really funny. Like he gets some loud buckets. Like he'll have 30 and you'll be like, that's about right. I probably thought he had 50 the way he was doing. And then when he has 50, it's like, man, what kind of, but I mean, you see it, man. You see it now.
Right. He a laid back dude. I done seen him out. Do y'all hang out off the court any?
Yeah. That's my brother. I mean, we kick it. We have a lot in common. We gelled really quick, like when he got here, because we just realized we had a lot in common. And we also knew how important it was for us to be on the same page. So yeah. It kind of gave us a little extra motivation to just kind of gel and get to know each other, because we knew there was a chance, like a higher chance we'd be around each other a lot if all goes well. And if we do know each other, it probably would go better. But I mean, now it's just organic. I mean, we synced up in a lot of ways. You're right. He's chill. He's very humble, very laid back. Mm-hmm. He doesn't change. Like that's one thing everybody knows about 12. He don't change for nobody. Like the situation, whatever's going on, like he's going to be him. And he looks out for his family. His family. He looks out for his friends. He looks out for his teammates. He really cares about other people. Like, I mean, all the time he puts on for me, all the time he be saying I'm defensive player of the year. He'd be saying I'm an all-star. He'll always say Dez. Like, I mean, he says it for everybody. Like, he makes sure he puts on everybody. And, I mean, that's just how he's built. That's how he's raised. Raised from good people. So that's what you get, man. That's 12. A real dude. Real dude.
What's his craziest highlight to you so far?
Craziest highlight to me? Probably the 50-point game where he had a dunk. He dunked off two from outside the paint and then after caught a full court pass and shot it over the backboard at the buzzer.
Mm-hmm.
That or like on some real shit, like the game winner against Phoenix was unreal. Cause that's like real bucket. Like he faked the handoff, turned the corner and hung in the air for like 8 seconds and shot it. He went left, but shot it with his right hand off the wrong leg, off the glass. Like that's so like to hit that at that time, like I kind of knew he was gonna shoot that because that's what he likes, but everyone else don't know. So to them, it's like, wow, that's a ridiculous shot. But it's also a shot he works on and a shot he likes. I mean, there's so many though, man. Like I forgot about them, man. I got to like look at his highlights and see like, Jesus. Like one time we looked, I was on the plane and he was just looking at his highlights and I was just looking over his shoulder at it. And he was like, usually when we look over each other's shoulder at iPads, we're usually watching the film of the game. We'll talk about it. He's like, hey, bro. You good. This is just my mix. I'm like, bro, I know. I'm about to watch this, bro. This is fire. This is, I'm telling you, like, you're doing it. And I just watched it. And I'm looking at this. I'm like, damn, 12, do you see this right now? I'm not sure you're seeing this. And I like, well, Greg, I would like hit his iPad, hit his hand out the way and rewind it. I'd be like, bro, look at this, bro. Do you see this, bro? And obviously he's laughing, but I'm like, man, you need to know, man. You're clapping your hands on layups. Like, this not normal. Like, a lot of this stuff ain't normal. So,
nah.
You got that swag, man.
KD said it best. He has a lot of great players, like, all that. He's a lot of great players all wrapped in one. Like, he's different. You guys are coming down the home stretch, heading into the playoffs. What's the environment like around your team right now? I mean, you guys got a taste of the playoffs. Now you guys have moved yourself up to the 2 seed in the Western Conference. What's the vibe and energy like around the team right now?
We're super focused. We're thankful that we're the 2 seed. We don't take it for granted, but like we're reflecting a little bit like, man, good job. Like I'm glad we're in this comfortable position because last year we were fighting for playing and every game was not stressful, but you just were thinking about it a lot. And now we're just kind of thinking about putting ourselves in the best position, but knowing that we're most likely going to be in there. And then we're also knowing how much we got to lock in and understand this is new for us. Like having a target on your back is new. Having people look at you, you're not surprising anybody. No one's happy for you. You know, you're not happy for a 1 or 2 seed. You don't care. You're just trying to knock them off. So, I mean, just us knowing that, us locking in every game, trying to be there for each other because it's new to all of us. So we're trying to,
right?
Like I'm trying to make sure my dog over here is good so he can make sure someone else is good. So everybody can lean on each other because you don't want to feel like, you know, you just don't want to feel like you're lost out there in a new space. So, and just making sure they're locked in. Like if we're not in the plan, then we get a week off. Just making sure we keep that focus and keep our energy and practice is important. You know how the league goes. League practice, we ain't even practicing that much. So the practices we have now, we actually practiced pretty hard today. They're important. Like every practice is important. We're learning every rep is important just to get our chemistry up. Guys in and out of the lineup.
That's what it is. You're one of these new stretch fours that can shoot threes and get to the basket, finish, do it all, but you're also someone who leads across a majority of the defensive categories all season. Where did that defensive mindset, or when did that defensive mindset click in and really know, when did you make that a part of your game?
Yeah, I always had it. It's just guards got better, you know. When I was really young, like I would just let a guard go to the rim so I could block it because guards only knew one hand side layups, like one hand to use. They had no game, no flair. And then as we got older, they start getting some tricky shit. And then I had to get better on my end but what helps for me is like I work on a lot of the things guards work on. So I start to remember how I would want to shoot a shot against me. Like I start to think about that when a guard's driving. I'm like, all right, if a guard's driving, I know he's not coming all the way. I know he's about to shoot this floater. So I'm about to jump even earlier. So I jump even earlier, and then I know he's about to ball fake. So I'm just not biting yet and then try to jump and time it right. And it's a whole game. It's like a chess match. And I think I really picked it up this year, like being able to play against Gobert in the playoffs last year as a 5 more really kind of gave me a test on how to be like an anchor. And you got to talk. It's a lot of talk. It's direction. Mm-hmm. You can see everybody. You're just trying to give instructions. And at the end of the day, like, your gifts are cool, but, like, you shouldn't just think about blocking a shot because then it takes you out of everything else. The block is, like, the last piece. Like, if you block it, cool, but you're supposed to make it tough on everybody. You're supposed to make it hard. These are great players. So, I mean, if you're in the league, you're nice. You're going to make some shots. You just got to make it hard. And if I block it, cool, but you know, I'm growing all the time. I grew year to year. Like, my arms is growing. So that also helps. Can't lie.
You mentioned earlier your teammate has been very outspoken as far as he thinks you should be Defensive Player of the Year. Do you think you're Defensive Player of the Year?
Of course I do. Yes.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about.
100%. I think.
State your case right now if for the world. The world's about to hear this. State your case to why you think you're Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, first off, always back yourself, period. If you don't get that, you don't get it. Second, I mean, I just think the things I have to do besides blocking shots are what separates me from people who be blocking shots. Like, I have to, my responsibility isn't just that. It just so happens that I'm very good at that. But I'm able to switch on the guards, contain. I'm able to just be a presence other than blocking a shot, to change a shot. My timing, I think, is just better on trying to time. The type of blocks I'm getting are on ball. It's not just a guard shooting a layup and not knowing I'm there. I'll block a shot in the half court on ball and just figure it out myself while guarding a dude who's shifty and all that type of thing, as well as what my responsibilities are on offense and what I've had to do offensively this year. I mean, it's just been picked up, especially, I mean, there was a time when Ja was out for a little bit and everybody had to pick up their stuff. And I mean, that just puts a lot of stress. Sometimes when you have more offensive duties, your defense can slack off and you kind of, you might not be there mentally for that. You might just think it's about scoring for a second, but that never happened to me. If anything, my defense just picked up and I was just able to do more. I was just more active. You know, and all the analytics and all that stuff, that's cool, but that's for everybody else. You know, that's not my job. At the end of the day, that's cool to hear and see. I'm just out there to do whatever I can to win, and we've won games. I think what I've done has impacted winning. So that's another difference than like previous years when we weren't really winning as many games. We're still in games and doing what we got to do, but now we're a 2 seed and no one thought we were going to be that. So.
Okay, they might take that in consideration. We'll have to see. Wishing you the best of luck. Yeah, wishing you the best of luck on that.
You just dropped the album, Suddenly, debut album. When did you start doing music and what got you? Well, I mean, of course, we all know music and sports go hand in hand, but when did you officially say, you know what, I'm dropping music during the season?
Yeah. I mean, freestyle rapping, I've always been doing that since I was younger. Me and my friends always just rap in the crib. That's just easy. And at Michigan State, me and Jay Poole really did it as roommates. And then at Michigan State, me and Miles did it every day. Like, we would rap every day. We'd come home and practice, put on a beat in the kitchen. We make some food and just rap. Like, we just rap. And eventually, you do it enough, stuff starts to sound a little fire. And you're like, okay, damn, all right. And then I think... when we would be on the plane rides, like, I think around the time I was hurt or maybe before that, I would just sometimes write a verse. And I would not even have a beat or anything, just write a verse randomly for fun. Probably be pretty trash, but whatever. Probably be something. And then I remember just one day just deciding to go to the studio when we were on the road. I was in New York and I was like, you know, let me try it. And going to the studio, it's funny. Like when you go to the studio, it's a lot different than just rapping. Like you can stop, you can pause, you can say a line, and you realize it's more about creation and just more about sound, like a bunch of stuff. And I just was into that. Like I always listen to music. I listen to so much music that I, you know, it goes hand in hand. You're playing stuff in the locker room. You're playing stuff when you wake up, go to bed, you shower, anything. Like you have different stuff. So I was just like, man, if my favorite artist ain't gonna drop, I'm gonna just make it. And I just was like, I'm gonna start making it. And then I ended up getting it in my house. So I got still upstairs and my homies come through and they like, my homies who do music professionally, like they come through and they'll make their albums up there with their producers and they'll go ham, like they'll go crazy. And then when I go in there, I usually just did it as therapy. Like, we just be kicking it. And if I felt something, I just wanted to say something, I just get in there. And then you eventually figure out how to record. And it's a process, but now it takes probably like 30 minutes to make a song just off the top of your head, whatever you're feeling. And those are the songs that came out. So eventually, like, I was like, man, I always just made songs for my homies. Never thought I was really gonna, I just didn't think of it like that. And then dudes are just like, man, you should put it out. I'm like, all right, well. I was never really that into it. A year went by and then I'm like, you know what? All right, maybe. And then I just ended up doing it randomly. Like the concept for Suddenly and the concept for It All, like came a week before. I was just like, you know, I think I'm gonna put it out over break. And we're just in the crib talking. Like, I'm like, yeah, all right, I'm gonna put it out. And then we just picked the songs. They're already done. We already listen to them all the time. We just picked the ones we liked and put them on there. And it's funny, like I wanted to pick Suddenly. Like Suddenly the name was important to me because I usually will write a bunch of stuff down. If I'm coming home after a game and I can't sleep, I'll write down like something how I'm feeling right now. I'll just write. And one time I wrote down like, suddenly, like you always have to be ready because suddenly the opportunity is going to come and you don't want to have to prepare to get ready. You're always ready. Suddenly it'll happen. Like suddenly a door will open. That's really what it comes from. And I saw that written down. I'm just like, I want to call it Suddenly. Also, for dudes like you who ain't hear it, I don't want you to like hear some whack name and be like, man, I'm not about to play this. Or like some goofy, like at first, like everyone call you like a unicorn. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna name it Dark. I was gonna name it Dark Twisted Unicorn and put the unicorn as the Kanye thing. But I'm like, man, that won't age. Like, I'm gonna have to walk into rooms and be like, yeah, you rap, bet. What's the name of it? dark twisted unicorn amulet.
Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now you made the right choice. I'll take a look at
it. Yeah. So like suddenly, like you don't even know what suddenly means to the point where you gotta listen to it just to figure it out. It's a vibe, 17 minutes long. I made it short because people got stuff to do. I work too. So I get it. I wanted something I could listen to fully on a drive to work. And yeah, man, it's fire. I love it. Stat ooh, 5, man. I know, you know what I mean? I heard your stuff before we even got on here. Yeah, you had a freestyle on a French record. I saw that. You had the vid too, using the, you had the scene, the classy little scene where, you know, the people wake up out of the bed like I'm rapping, but I was asleep. Like, man, I was fine.
I had number time in Milwaukee. I wasn't playing. I wasn't trying to set foot on that court. I was ready to get traded. So in the meantime, between time, take these bars.
Man. Yeah, take these bars.
Fine.
Who's the best unknown rapper in the NBA to you?
Well, you heard Miles, right? You heard Miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Well, that he's known. He's elite. I'll say, Brandon Ingram's pretty good. He's pretty good. I have a song with Mo Bamba. Mm-hmm. He does not want me to put it out.
I only respect athletes that actually drop their music. Like I was dropping 2-3 mixtapes a season and doing shows. So what's the point
and,
of doing
and selling dope on the side?
You know what I'm saying? Whatever else it took, Matt, you know what I'm saying, to get a record sold. Hey, I respect athletes that put their music out, man, because that means it's not only a hobby, but you believe in your music. You know, a lot of people try to put us in the box just because our contracts are outrageous and our money's guaranteed. They tell you, just play basketball, stick to basketball. But rappers can act, you know, and everybody else can do everything, but they try to put us in the box. So I always salute athletes that get behind their music and stand up and put it out. So I salute you for that, bro.
Yeah, it's kind of a deep concept. Why though? Like, I mean, people my age don't really get this. So I mean, this is a good lesson for people my age. But like, when you're in passing, like if you're in hospice, like people who are in hospice, people are going to pass. Like the biggest thing they think of is regret. Like that's what kills them. That's what people say. Like regret kills you. Like you'll die, but regret kills you. And you don't want to sit there and like everything you do should be about that moment. Like when you look back, like. That you like did that. It here. You did this.
Right.
I'm like, man, this joint, I'm in the crib like, man, this joint, we dropped this joint. Like, I don't really, like, at the end of the day, man, everybody got here. And then I put it out and it was fine. Everybody liked it. It was fun.
That's was what's good. Up.
So, we know you're a big anime fan. What's anime fandom like in the NBA?
People don't really be tapped into anime. It's like an acquired taste, or you gotta have it before. And honestly, anime really just teaches you lessons if you really pay attention. Behind all the flash and like all the like Japanese, like, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that'll throw you off, right? If you're not really looking at it. But like, it teaches you lessons. Like,
it's a message in all of it. I got an 8-year-old, so I watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty, like, it's a lot of, like, goofy shit, but, like, there's a lot of stuff that, like, when you watch long enough, you'll be like, damn, like, these people are going through it. And it kind of makes you look at your own stuff, like, you know, maybe I am going through it, but one, I'm not going through it like this. And, like, there's a show, Attack on Titan, very good. Probably one of the best ones on Hulu. And, like, it's about humanity, like, how... It's like how let's say we're living in humanity and there's these giants around that at any point could just wipe us all out. So we have to protect ourselves from these giants. And that's what life is about, protecting ourselves from these giants while living day to day. The child wipe us out. And at the end of the day, like, I mean, you look at people losing like their family, their cousins, their friends, their brothers. Like when you see that, yeah, it's anime. But if you have some weird problem, like if you have a problem with your girl, if you have a problem with your homie, if you got a problem with your mind, like you can fix that. You can't fix losing someone. There's things that aren't fixable. Like, right. So you got to kind of, like a problem is only a big problem to you because it's you. like, if you step out and really look at the whole perspective of it, bro, there ain't no problem. And it's a problem, but it shouldn't ruin your focus or anything like that. It definitely shouldn't ruin your focus on the court.
Perspective, yep.
Okay, hey, you received the Community Assist Award, and very important of giving back to you, young girl sports. I fell in love with girl sports from watching Kobe and his passion with his daughter. And I started the first female high school showcase that was headlined by NBA player in Memphis, right there in Memphis. But when did you get your love to your passion? Thank you, my brother. Your passion for giving back to women's sports.
I mean, definitely fueled through my mom, but just overall being a good person is important. And it's just a human thing to do. You speak out for people who may have not a problem, but you speak out for people who could always use a little more in terms of getting their voice out there. So I just viewed that as something that was close to me, important to me. I have a lot of cousins and I have a lot of girls in my life who play sports. And, you know, I know that they can be overlooked at times in ways like that. And that is definitely, we've came a long way, like for sure. Like we came a long way with that in that area, but I always want to make sure I'm making a difference for them. It's just the human thing to do. It comes natural. Nothing I can really put my finger on why, but it's a beautiful thing. Plus I love being around kids and just pushing the youth to new heights. And just making sure everybody's having their voice. Oh, by the way, so that Wayne thing you said about Wayne, this is off topic because, you know, that was deep and lovely. But that Wayne thing, I have a crazy quote by Wayne I always keep with me. It's the craziest thing. He was sitting like, because Wayne, you know, Wayne smoked his ass off, so he just be in the clouds. He'll say the most poetic thing and then never remember it. But I have a quote by Wayne I have in my notes, and like, it's only that quote in the notes. That's how you know it's bad. He said, work hard, be somebody, be something more than what you see in the mirror. Let the world be your mirror. Don't let them judge you because the mirror can't judge you. You judge what you see in the mirror. Crazy. I heard that like, oh my God, this man just... I wasn't even sure what was going on, but that was it.
I don't know what that should mean, but it sounds good when you say it.
That was it. Like, nah, if you really break it down, it's elite.
Nah, Wayne is a beast. All right, we have quick hitters, man. First thing to pop in your mind, let us know. Top five current NBA rappers, in your opinion.
Me. Miles
Bridges. Dylon.
Mm-hmm. High five.
Miles Bridges, Damian Lillard, Marvin Bagley, and I'll say Brandon Clark, you know, my brother. You ain't even check his out. His stuff ain't even out yet.
He don't count.
All right, well then I'm gonna throw
I was about to say
Miles, Marvin, and Dame. Because Dame,
I appreciate how you put
Wayne.
Yourself first.
Oh, for sure.
I like how you put yourself first. Yeah,
my stuff flies for sure. And everybody's got a lane. Like Dame is, you know, poetic. You know, he's rapping that real. You know, that real like. He in the barbershop with it, like he in the hood with it. Like he'll play it on the boombox, like over his head type. Miles, really from Flint. If you ain't from Flint or Detroit, you don't know, then you just don't know. And then me, just a lot of swag, a lot of good sounds, a lot of feel good. You know, some girls may like it. Usually I put that. It's good.
You're supposed to be rapping for the women, because if you rap for the women, the guys going to come.
Exactly. And then Marvin got songs like Tory Lanez. He like a, you know, Marvin out here. So shout out Marvin, man. He was really doing it. Yep. I think he signed. He signed straight up on some that shit.
Stuck on the island with three shows or movies. What you watching?
Ozark.
Good call.
Snowfall.
Thank
Good
you.
Call.
And, oh, uh, I'm watching any of the Batman movies. I'm watching like the Dark Knight, the new ones, hard, the Dark Knight or the one with Bane. I'm watching one of those just to get me in that mode.
Mm-hmm. Toughest matchup you've had up to this point in your career?
Probably Anthony Davis. Stephen Adams before he was on my team.
That's a strong motherfucker, ain't it?
Yeah, it's a whole experience. It's like playing a back to back in one game. And I'd probably say when you play Steph, you're guarding him as a team, man. He's shooting 50 shots. Everybody gonna get a few. So it's definitely a shared experience playing Steph.
Five dinner guests, dead or alive.
Five dinner guests. Heath Ledger. Yeah, right. I would say Juice WRLD, God rest his soul, as well. It's funny, like all the old head basketball players I knew growing up from all those little legends brunches, and they used to be all funny. Like they used to grab my head and rub my forehead and grab my head a ton. Like I used to already, I already dealt with them. So like, Kobe, for sure. Michael Jackson. And dinner guest. And then maybe I want to meet somebody like weird. Like I want to put like somebody who did something, maybe like a criminal or something. Some type of criminal. That last spot is some type of criminal. You got to spice it up. Ain't no way. Like we got to have something. Like what did you, like somebody really messed up, you know? So that spot is open. I ain't got no name for that. But if you really messed up, you coming to dinner. I mean, I like you, but that's the whole point. You know, we had dinner.
Strike that conversation. If they're passing you, if you're controlling the music in the locker room before the game, what's one song you gonna play?
We're playing a lot of Youngboy. Youngboy, we're playing an Offside by Youngboy. We're playing some Baby. Probably gonna hear Gang Signs by Lil Baby. You'll probably hear How You Did That by Gunna. You'll probably hear Popping by Yeet. You guys just something about Pop. You guys just something about Yeet. Go ahead and do that when we're done. I promise you, you'll say something. But yeah.
I said right foot creep.
Yeah, you're hit. Yeah. That's the dude, man. Real dude right there.
Yeah. All right, man. If you could have one guest on All the Smoke, who would it be? And who would it be? But before you answer the question, you have to help us get your answer on our show.
I got to help you?
Yep.
Floyd? Floyd been on?
Nope.
Floyd. Nope. Floyd, I think. Hey, look, Floyd. Look, come to All the Smoke.
He's making his pitch right now.
Come to All the Smoke. You gonna feel cozy and you gonna not want to do it because you're gonna say some stuff you really feel. But I think it's about time you say some stuff you really feel.
Right, well,
you, bro. You got all the money, you got 8 chains on. I saw the Cubans from the one pick. It was
18 chains.
That was ridiculous. No. Yo, that was ridiculous.
He looked like a little mini Mr. T.
Damn, man.
Yeah, he was shitting on everybody that night.
Bugging. He was bugging, but you know, like. I mean, shoot, I don't know, man. He does a lot of, like, exercises. You never know how if it was weighing him down or anything like that.
It's stupid.
Them diamonds look VVS, too. Them are not SI, so I'm proud of him. Them are good.
Jaren Jackson, man, we appreciate your time. Wish you the best of luck the remainder of the season, man, and we'll be checking you out in the playoffs, man. So thank you for your time today.
Appreciate you, man.
Fam.
All the smoke. Legendary, all the smoke.
Yeah, man. Appreciate you, bro.
Know what it is.
Legendary.
That's a wrap, Jaren Jackson Jr. Look for him and his Memphis Grizzlies coming to the playoffs near you very soon. You can catch this on Showtime Basketball YouTube and the iHeart platform Black Effects. We'll see y'all next week.
Yeah.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeart Radio in partnership with Showtime.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.